Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for joining us this week. Last week, if you listened to our show, you'll know that my guest was Patty Schmucker. She's the leader of strategic business development with the Kirshner Group and president of American Made Beauty. On the show, we talked about how the beauty industry, this multi-billion dollar industry, how they source ingredients, how they manage regulations, and just what exactly is in that jar. This week on the show, we're going to talk about the impact that organics have had on the industry, and we'll also talk about brand loyalty. That's where we pick up our conversation. So what are the keys, like you're talking about the importance of brand, but what are the keys then to achieving and maintaining that brand loyalty? I mean, I've been loyal to certain brands in my life, and then suddenly, for some reason, I find myself using something else. And you're really surprised because you were so committed to that brand for so long, but then all of a sudden something changes and then you're gone. How do you maintain that brand loyalty?
Well, I think one of the things we're finding in the market today is community. I come from the professional industry, and I had the privilege of working behind the chair and having people who entrusted their care and the way that they both physically as well as emotionally thought about themselves and took care of themselves. It's a huge responsibility, but working with and through the professional salon industry and the professional beauty and wellness industry, we find that education and community is a great way to continue to build that loyalty with the customer and being able to give them ongoing choices. So the brand, the loyalty is to the brand and to the authority that's constantly giving you good information and advice and making it fun and engaging and all of those kinds of things. But at the same time, you know, the needs that you and I have today to take care of our skin and our hair and our bodies is very different than what it was when we were 20. So how is the brand evolving and meeting those needs and changing as the environment changes and the consumer changes? So we're finding that the real key to it is the ability of a brand to create an effective community and a community where the consumer feels like they are involved in the conversation, can give feedback, and have the opportunity to cultivate an environment where they're able to articulate what their needs are and to see those changes come from the brand as well. So I think it's a fun time because social media and the internet is creating platforms of communication that never existed before. And so it's also giving, you know, the really innovative brands opportunity to open their ears and listen and engage the consumer in a way that they've never engaged with them before. It's always been the industry telling the consumer what to wear or use, and that's not the case anymore. And it's rather fun.
Yeah, there's been a big turnaround, hasn't there?
And there has been. It's awesome to watch, people, and it is. I mean, it used to be just her. We used to, in our industry, we called it her. That the industry would tell her what she should look like, be like, think like. And she's not doing that anymore. And he is now at the table. And so, you know, the male consumer is also taking pride in the way that he takes care of himself and the environment being so caustic in many ways, physically, emotionally, those kinds of things, just are driving people, I think, to take better care of themselves. And so when you bring together the innovation that the industry has available in terms of knowing more about the body than ever before, you take the communication platforms that are now open for two-way communication, and you put all of that together, it's just a really dynamic, changing, exciting time in beauty and wellness.
What's the impact organics have had on your industry? How has the industry changed?
Well, they have really forced the hand of companies to innovate. And I feel privileged that I was sort of at the epicenter of that. As my early career, I was one of the original Aveda distributors in the United States. And so I watched that process occur. I remember I'd go out into the marketplace talking about aromatherapy, and people would call aromatherapy and essential oils and jojoba oil, and these types of things were so foreign to people in the early 80s. They used to call us Chicken Little because we were talking about the environment. So, you know, like we were, the sky was falling, and they used to call us jojoba witnesses because we, you know, would propose, promote jojoba oil. So these were the ways that people, you know, sort of made fun of us, but Aveda was instrumental in forcing people to look at, hey, there really are alternatives to all of the synthetic ingredients that we are using, the oil-based, petroleum-based ingredients that we're using. And when you couple that with a demand, I mean, we were successful as Aveda to create a force of change in the industry where more and more brands wanted to follow us. So it's really forced innovation. California has also been instrumental in creating an environment of innovation, because with some of the various different green propositions and green regulations that have been enacted here in California over the last 20 years, more and more companies have had to make some choices. It's not that better products, more organic products can't be made. It's that the synthetic equivalents are cheaper and they're easier and they're more accessible. So the biggest impact I feel has been that it's allowed for innovation, because without that demand for healthier, more organic ingredients, and without the regulation that requires companies to define exactly what they're using, that innovation would not have happened.
And how has the manufacturing process changed because of that? Because I'm thinking, you say most of them all come from contract manufacturers, it's the goop in the jar and whatnot. But I'm thinking, okay, if I'm buying a product that is organic, I'm assuming that when it is processed, it's going, like, let me just say, let's call it a peanut-free zone or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm expecting that super clean, that like nothing else is going through that line. My stuff is clean and whatnot. Has it affected the manufacturing process like that?
Big time. Yeah, absolutely. And the companies that are building and marketing products that have organic labeling, that make these various different claims, there's regulations in this country that say what that means. And at the cosmetic manufacturing level, the FDA actually has processes by which these companies are registered, and they have full authority to be able to walk into these companies and do spot audits, and they do. When the FDA officer comes through, they come through unannounced, and they have a full checklist of all a variety of different things that they're going to inspect. And based on your registration and the type of manufacturing that you are doing, there is various different types of cleanliness and restricted areas, restriction of raw materials, the bringing in of the raw materials, the quarantine, the inspection process. There are actual standards that are set in this country in terms of the way those products are made, even the water that's used and the inspection of the water, because when you're talking liquids, water is a primary ingredient. Part of the reason why American products are highly regarded around the world, because the quality of our water in most parts of the country that are producing water and the inspection process requires that main ingredient going into cosmetics is of the highest quality. And so it has drastically changed, and the regulations at that level in our industry have been very strong.
And are you finding that some products, especially ones that would be organic, are they running the whole process? Are they starting with sourcing the product, taking it through the manufacturing process, creating their own packaging, and taking it right through to getting it in the stores?
Well, I mean, That one's a hard question to answer, just from the standpoint that there are a number of different players involved in that process. I will say that the U.S. government requires that if your product is going to be listed with the word organic on the front panel of that product, there is a percentage of the ingredients, and I think I'm off the top of my head, it's better than 90%. All those ingredients that have to be certified organic, there's an actual paper trail that must be followed to ensure that those ingredients that you are marketing as organic are in fact better than 90%. And it doesn't have to be 100%, but 90%. So yes, there's an actual standard that has been set, and companies that use that organic on that front label, there is, you can go on and do the research and see that there's a certain percentage of everything in there that meets that. If you want to use the word on the back panel, then it's lower. It's like 78%. If you want to use the word organic in your marketing, then it's a little bit, then it's even lower than that. But there are these standards that have been set. And in most cases, when it comes to the ingredients, it is primarily the product itself, the goop in the jar. When it comes to the actual packaging, you know, better than 90% of all packaging done in cosmetics is done outside of the United States. We have basically in the last 40 years eliminated all manufacturing that's been done here in the United States. And every type of packaging, there's complications. You know, glass, for example, people think, oh, that's the most environmentally responsible. Quite frankly, it's the exact opposite. You take, number one, the weight, but number two, the processing of glass is highly toxic, and the way that it pollutes the water is devastating to the environment. So there are a tremendous amount of complications relative to packaging that don't factor into an organic claim. The organic claims are just going to be really the goop in the jar.
Wow. Patty, I would love to continue talking to you, but unfortunately we're out of time. I have learned so much, and I would love to speak to you again sometime. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it as well, and I'll look forward to another opportunity.
That's great. Patty Schmucker is with the Kirshner Group and president of American Made Beauty. And my head is spinning with all the information. Thank you very much, Patty, for joining us on the Make It Right podcast. And we'll see everyone next week.